Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is July the 24th, 2012. It's Friday. It's hotter than hell here in Kansas City, about 95 degrees, humid as can be. And I don't know, I'm getting kind of old. I've got former 911 pilot, whistleblower, Russ Wittenberg on, and I have Professor Joe on with us. He's only going to be with us for a few minutes. But we're going to have a weekly discussion about current events. And with that said, Russ, how are you today?
Doing great. Cooler here in Phoenix than it is in Kansas City.
It's hot here. I'm getting old, man. 66. I'm feeling it.
Well, you know, we have a dry, what they call a dry heat here. The humidity is about 10 or 15%. That's really great.
Yeah, well, we're 70 or 80%, you know, with these pop-up showers in late afternoon. We've been having a few of them. But anyway, with that said, Joe, are you on with us? Is Joe still with us, Russ?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think we lost him. Okay, from the beginning. But he was busy today, and he was just going to add something. I forgot what it was, but he'll have me on again. Now, what's the latest events that you're seeing in politics in America and world events as well?
Oh, my God. How much time do we have?
Oh, I don't know. Let's spend a half an hour today. How's that?
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that's not even enough time to start to keep scratching the tip of the iceberg. I mean, what things are – right now, we're in the middle of an attempted communist revolution. This is right out of the Communist Party handbook of the it is simply a Xerox copy of what they've talked about for a long time. The Disinformation and Active Measures branch of the KGB, first chief director at A of the KGB, the old KGB, the KGB doesn't exist anymore, they renamed it. But anyway, what's going on, Stu, is it's just amazing. And I don't know how many people understand that. And that's the part which is the most frustrating for me.
You know, I put a book up on my website yesterday, Antifa. Okay?
Yeah.
And what it means. It came off of one of their places they planted it. All it is just a playbook out of the Communist Party. It is.
Yeah.
And overthrow us. Now, it's all part of the Satanic New World Order, I believe, Russ, because I've watched this for years coming. I've watched major events happen. I've watched biblical events occur over the past roughly 37 years that I've been doing this. And I'm saying to myself, this is crazy. What I'm seeing is happening to this country is a slow deterioration and destruction by a bunch of Satanists who have a political agenda of killing off two-thirds of the population.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do every time they take power. And unless someone is living in a lead-lined cave on the backside of the moon with a bank vault door on it, which a lot of people are, metaphorically speaking, they don't understand that this is not just another election. This is an election which, if the Democrat Party should, by unbelievably, hope not, but they should retain control of the House, pick up three or four seats in the Senate and take control over there and take the White House, this country is finished.
Oh, we're finished. Yeah, we're finished. But
yeah,
even Nancy Pelosi, now she was about 3 days ago, she made a statement. She said that if Donald Trump wins the election, that she says on January the 1st, she's going to become president. She's going to take it over. Well, I don't know about the rest of the people in America, but I have this attitude. I'm hearing, you know, that they think they're going to overthrow. And I don't think that's going to happen. And people,
You think they're going to what? I didn't hear that, Stu.
They think they're going to overthrow what's left of our government. They've already taken it over. And, I mean, I put up a story by Whitney Webb yesterday or day before about the election. She's pretty accurate on a lot of stuff she's got and a lot of information because I know she's talking to Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman. She's doing a book with her. And Cynthia is very awake and astute to what's going on. She's no dummy. She's a very bright woman. And she actually teaches COINTELPRO out of the country now, the old FBI's COINTELPRO, as a university professor at a university in Africa. And they're working together. But she did a pretty good story on the election. You might look at it, Russ, later and read it, and other people, because it's pretty much the playbook of what's going on.
Yeah. Now, where's that list of that, Stu?
Say it's again. Up on my site on stuweb.com.
Okay.
Okay, I put it up there, and she has a website called unlimitedhangout.com. She's a great writer. I like her. Joel likes her. You know, she does a fabulous job, really, of her research. I've dealt with so many reporters over the years, and she's one of the better ones. So, anyway, I'm hoping to put her on soon on the air. She's out of the country in Chile. But with that said, she did a pretty good story on the election, on how they're overturning it and how it's a playbook. What I see, Russ, in the bigger picture is they're going to keep playing this coronavirus because they started it with Soros crap, okay,
yeah.
And that lab scaring everybody out of Harvard. Now, the Chinese were involved in this to some major degree because they're stealing secrets from different labs, and they arrested one at KU, I think, about 3 months ago, Kansas University in Manhattan, and they've got some top secret stuff that goes on out there. We have in various labs around the country, folks. I mean, they use our laboratories, Harvard, KU, MU, different places to do different things for the government. They get funding for this. And I know that the Chinese were in there trying to get it, and I bet you money. It's the Lipple Group, which was the Chinese connection to the Clintons, which is the Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, and some guy named Fong. And he's probably the one that's doing the espionage if they stopped the situation with the embassy in Houston the other day, the Chinese embassy. But
yeah,
they are doing a lot of damage. I mean, Russ, I'm seeing that, and they have for years. But secrets in the United States have been being sold by every administration we've got to our enemies. They've sold them to China. They've sold them to Israel. They've sold them to everybody. They are not our friends. Israel is not. But this has been going on. But what I'm seeing is that we're going to have a false election. We're going to have this coronavirus numbers increase, all this garbage that they've got out there to get their new shot in place. Now, Nora O'Donnell, CBS Evening News, interviewed Bill Gates the other night. And then she says, oh, by the way, our full interview is up on CBS.com, and you could see the interview. But she said, there's a part in there where people are saying that Bill Gates has a chip in this vaccination. I think there's a rumor. We debunked it. So it's already out there that people know it's a chip. And I don't know about the rest of the people, but Russ, they go to chip and me. They're going to get shot.
You know, in just the 1 minute that you were there talking about different things, you covered, I don't know how many different, half a dozen or a dozen different items. Just in your 1 minute of talking there, Stu. That's how much problem we're in. That's how much danger we're in. Right now, this country is in greater danger than we were on December the 8th, 1941, the day after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Because back then, we knew who the enemy was. He was external, and he wore a uniform, and they had a red meatball on the side of their airplanes. And we knew who the bad guys were. Today, the bad guys are internal, and that's the most dangerous thing we could have.
Yeah, they are. They've infiltrated our government so heavily, the Justice Department, all the way through the DOJ, all the way through the administration, through the Congress and Senate. You know, Russ, I can only point to about three people that I see doing their job in the United States Congress and Senate today. One is Jim Jordan of Ohio, DeSantis, Nunes, now the governor of Florida, and Gates, G-A-T-Z.
Yep.
They were the only ones I could see doing the job during all these hearings of so-called investigations and impeachment and all. And, I mean, they nailed them for all their lives. But they're the only three that I can see that have tried to do their job. And what's interesting, folks, is that Jim Jordan's nephew about 1 year ago got murdered. He was car crashed. Typical suicide. They either car crash you, roll you, and it kills you, and or they shoot you in the mouth or behind the ear first. And, he didn't kill himself. The bullet came outside and said he had a bad headache, so he shot himself the second time with a different caliber in the mouth. So it was suicide. That's what happened to his nephew, to neutralize him. This is what they do.
Remember during the Clinton administration, the chief of staff of the of the armed forces was a guy named Admiral Jeremy Broder. Remember him?
Yep.
He admitted that he committed suicide by shooting himself in the heart and the chest three times.
Yeah, right. It didn't stop, so I shot twice more. Right.
Yeah. Well, the first one didn't do it, so he said, well, you know, that just didn't do it. I'm going to have to try this again. So he shoots himself again in the heart the second time, and he said, oh, that felt so good, I'm going to do it a good third time. Yeah, I mean, you know, this whole thing, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, you know, and this whole thing is headed toward a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way we can save this country. Of course, the NSA is probably listening to this conversation, so.
Oh, yeah, they're listening. I don't care. Here's the problem with me. Is that I developed this attitude that we're at the final push battle. It's a push and shove game. And we're at the final end. This is where they think they're going to mark us. I mean, if a person believes in God and Christ, and they believe in the Old and the New Testament, which I do to some degree.
Yeah.
I think this dispensationalism, and I think that a lot of this stuff that has come out over the years of changing the Bible, I believe they've done that. But I think that realistically, we can look at Revelations 12, and we can say, from there, you can start working forward. Because we're at that point. We're talking about the chip, the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell without it, it says in Revelations. And this is what this coronavirus chip thing is all about, except it's got a DNA changer in it. Oh, we want to chip you and change your DNA to make you a total robot. That's what they want. No, not going to happen on my watch. I've talked to too many people, and everybody's saying, no, when that comes, that's when we pick up the guns and we go take care of the politicians and go arrest them. Now, you know, I'm an import trained. If I come arrest you, I don't take prisoners.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to, the time we have left, I wanted to at least touch on the what's happening in Portland, Oregon, and what's happening in Chicago and the rest of these cities, where you have these people rioting, these so-called young people rioting and looting and burning things up, and a lot of people have the mistaken impression that these are just a bunch of young people that are out raising hell and having a good time. No, nothing could be further from the truth in that respect, because these people, this is a well-organized machine. This is like these people have a uniform. They have whoever is running the tactical end of this thing has a very well-organized army working for them. They have the signs they hold up, they are doing things on a well-organized schedule, and this thing is something to be very concerned about. And I hope that and they're using our laws and using our Constitution to destroy our country.
And this is Antifa and Black Lives Matter group, and it isn't about Black Lives, folks. It isn't about Black Lives. It's George Soros funded, both of them, and they're there for the Democratic Party and Biden and Hildebeest. You have to understand, this George Soros is very, very dangerous. Every country he has been in, they've got arrest warrants, as an example, in Russia for him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's a known terrorist, and he finances terrorist activity, and that's what he's doing here and now to disrupt this country. And to try to take it apart.
What you said is absolutely true. Now, here's the $64 trillion question. Why isn't the Department of Justice going after this guy?
Yeah, that's my question. I mean, in my opinion, you know, folks, if you see him on the street, take him down.
Well, I don't know how much he's walking around the streets of Phoenix, but
here up in New York, upstate New York, by Hildebeest, he's got a mansion. So if anybody's up in upstate New York, keep your eyes out on him.
Why aren't we going after these people? It's so obvious. Yet, I mean, it's like, you know, the Chinese are running this country. Look what they're doing with the NBA. Look what they're doing with the professional sports. They're running it. They're absolutely running this country. And fortunately, you know, we just closed down the consulate in Houston. But geez, why didn't we do that a long time ago?
Why haven't they arrested the liberal group? Fong, F-O-N-G is his name.
Yeah.
Everybody involved. Here's the problem we've got, Russ. You've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen it 37 years. You kind of came on the scene, 9-1-1, thereafter.
Oh, I've been around long before that. I've been in politics. I hate to tell you, but I've been in politics about 60 years.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Hey. You know what's going on.
Back in the Goldwater days, I was a delegate to the Republican National Convention from the state of Florida, pledged to Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, yeah.
I was at the very podium. I was 12 feet away from him when he gave his famous speech. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. And I've been in this a long time. I've run several statewide presidential campaigns in Florida and Arizona here, and I just ran for Congress in 2016 against a guy, a Republican congressman who's nothing but a spineless jellyfish walking around in an empty suit that hides in the tall grass. And he wouldn't say shit if he had a mouthful.
Well, I know that Arizona politics has always been controlled by the Jewish Crime Syndicate, because that was Meyer Lansky, and then he passed the helm on to Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father, and then he passed it on to Larry Mizell. And I know that they controlled everybody down there, politics, and they were all in bed deep, Charles Keating and all that mess and all the theft and Camelback Mountain, the Felician Hotel, and all kinds of trash went on down there. That city was built off of stolen money, basically mob money over the years. And you've had mob politics down there ever since.
Well, that's part of the Las Vegas mob. Cindy McCain, John McCain, who I knew on a first name basis. I was on his, when he first came to town as a carpetbagger, he was, you know, an ex-military guy, and I'm an ex-military guy in the Vietnam era, and I was an Air Force pilot, and he was a Navy pilot, and so I said, hey, you know, it's nice, this guy's running, I'd like to help him out, because I was always interested in politics, like I said, and I got on his finance committee to raise money for him, and I got to know the McCains. In fact, I'd been in their house, here on Central, the old, when they used to live on what they call Central Avenue, in the high rent district here in Phoenix. And I soon found out the guy was a maniac. And so Cindy McCain, he married into money. Cindy McCain is his wife. Her father was part of the mob. And I won't get into that, but every single bottle of Budweiser beer that's sold in the state of Arizona, they get money from.
Oh, yeah. She owns Budweiser, basically.
Yeah.
I dug on John McCain because he was being financed by Millman and controlled by him. And everything he was doing, he was answering consistently to Larry Mizell, which was a stooge for Millman. And so was Norman Brownstein, the two APEC directors. Now, Mizell's in control. He's got that fallen angel possession now. But this is Daddy Bush's attorney when he was CIA, Norman Brownstein, et cetera. Now, John McCain used to call one of the two of them every other day for instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm aware of? I'm also aware, because I put a story up. It's on my website. I think he's right up on the front, John McCain, on the front of the site in the middle column on Stu Webb. It's about how Cindy McCain profiteers from war crimes. She supplies John McCain, and her were supplying through Cindy McCain's company. And John McCain was on the Armed Services Committee and allowed it. They supplied water and supposedly Budweiser beer and other things to the troops in Afghanistan. Okay. What they're supplying, now this is interesting, because their company supplies the chemicals supposedly for a dry cleaning business in the middle of a war zone, a dry cleaning business. In other words, this is the chemical they send over there to put this stuff in paste form and bring the heroin back on these drones that they're flying over there. And they're flying the Homestead Airport in Florida is where they're flying the stuff. They were flying it into Missouri for a while into, it's about 90 minutes from Kansas City, east, southeast, I'm trying to think the air base. But the drones were landing, coming from over there. But now they're bringing it in down there. And Jeb Bush is the recipient of it. But
Were you talking about MENA, Arkansas?
No, I'm talking about the current operations over in Afghanistan involving the heroin that's coming in from the poppy seeds over there. And Cindy McCain supplying the chemicals to melt it down into paste form in Afghanistan to ship it back on these drones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cindy McCain is a criminal that should be put in jail, and her entire family is a recipient of nothing but dirty money over the years. And so was John McCain. And he was no hero. You know, Russ, there's people out here, I've interviewed them, that were in Vietnam at the time. And John McCain got special treatment because he was giving secrets to the enemy, is my understanding. And, you know, they gave him a complete presidential pardon, should we say, to everybody from Vietnam. Richard Nixon did, because John McCain's father, who was an admiral, arranged it.
Listen, the only reason John McCain ever ended up doing or being anything is because his father and grandfather were four-star admirals in the Navy. He never would have made it into Annapolis if it wasn't for his daddy admiral. He never would have graduated from Annapolis if it wasn't for that. He never would have made it into Naval Aviation at Pensacola if it wasn't for that. He never would have given this gold set of Navy wings if it wasn't for that. And then he went to he was assigned to the aircraft carrier over there during the Vietnam War when I was over there, and he almost single-handedly sunk the USS Forrestal. When he blew up, he was hijinking on us, and he was flying an A-4 Skyhawk, and he was screwing around on the deck. I won't go into details. I could, because of time, I won't do it, but he did what they call a hot start, or and he cooked off a Zuni missile of an F-4 sitting right in back of me. You know, the airplanes are parked real close together on the deck of a carrier, and the missile shot down the deck and exploded and started a chain reaction and almost sunk the damn ship.
No, that's an interesting one. I hadn't heard that about John McCain.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot more details, a lot more details than that. But the next morning, he was hustled off of the Forrestal over to the Oriskany. And then from there, he ended up screwing up on a sortie into North Vietnam, into Hanoi, because he wasn't following the directions, and he got shot down with a SAM missile, and ends up in the Hanoi Hilton. They turns him into a damn hero. He was no hero.
No, he was a traitor.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can prove all that, but, you know, everybody that was in the service knows that over there, all the pilots know it. And the guy comes back. He's the only guy that came back heavier and left Hanoi Hilton heavier than the day he went into it.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, you know, you look at that slime ball. I look at him as a slime ball and always have called him one, John McCain.
Yeah.
And you look at his wife, and she comes from a crime syndicate family.
Yeah.
And you look at his offspring, this daughter of his.
Oh, yeah.
National TV every day. I mean,
she's on the view.
A mental case.
Yeah, she's on The View. I mean, how bad can you get?
And if you listen to her, it's like she is already programmed since she was a child to be a mental case, a generational mental case. We have these out here now. These are the children and grandchildren of these slime balls that have been destroying this country for the past 30 and 40 years. I got an attitude about that kind of people. If I see them on the street, you know, maybe I'll go temporarily insane.
Well, everywhere I go, Stu, I wear a MAGA hat. And I don't care where it is. I wear it. And here, of course, here in Phoenix, it's a pretty conservative town. It's not like New York City or something like that. A lot of people come up to me and say, hey, I like your hat. And I said, thank you, but, you know, where's yours? Well, it's in the closet. I said, you know, we're in a war. I hope you understand that. And we got to start pushing back. And I can't do this by myself, and the president can't do it by himself. He needs help. And you should get that hat and wear it. And I hope the people listening to this program do that. And if they don't have a bag of hat, get one. And if they have one, start wearing it. Because this country is going to be, the fate of this country is going to be determined the next 100 days.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, Russ, I know too many people, when you look at the bigger picture, and let's glance at what happened in Virginia. You got the governor said he's going to confiscate everybody's guns. Well, that pissed everybody off. And the sheriff said, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. National Guard says, no, we're not going to follow that order, 8 out of 10 of them. Now, I've been told by super spooks that if the United States of America had a revolution and the American people stood up and said, we've had enough, that the military would stand down, 8 out of 10 of them, and would not attack Americans or arrest Americans. And that was pretty much proven in the Virginia conflict. Now, shortly thereafter, and all the other, or the, you know, sheriffs said, we'd deputize people in our county. This isn't going to happen. They passed legislation, oh, the good hand of a gun. Now, what happened was during the lockdown, they got a demonstration of people with AK-47s, M-16s, 50 calibers, even a couple of ex-military trucks someone had bought, and they're all running around their pickups around the Capitol when it was supposedly lockdown. Now, we saw during a 7 to 10 day period of time, I saw another 7 capitals, Missouri, Kansas, various ones were all surrounded. Now, they did Wisconsin with the lockdown first, surrounding it with the big event. And then they turn around, and 10 days or 14 days later, they storm the Capitol to arrest that Wisconsin governor. Now, I'm aware of somebody that was among them later because I got a phone call, and they explained what happened. Apparently, the guards put their hands up. You know, what the hell? We're here to arrest the governor. I mean, they broke the door down, saying, hey, we're going to come in and get her. Well, she wasn't around to be had. But the deal is there are people out here willing to take them on. And I know that there are enough of us. There's probably 100 million people that are pretty much awake and conscious to the fact that we have a problem and we're going to have to change it. And everybody says, well, how do we change it? We have to arrest all politicians. And we have to remove all federal judges and state judges and so forth and cleanse the whole place down and start all over. We leave everything intact, and all we do is just replace these people. Put somebody in there temporarily until you have an election 90 days later. And we start putting clean, honest people in, because I don't know about you, Russ. I have a funny feeling you're probably pretty much along with the lines I am. But we, the people, are going to have to do it. And we're going to have to probably do it by the end of this year.
Well, if we lose this election, if the Democrats take power in January, it's going to come down to a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time in 2016 or 2017 was the first time in this country's history we didn't have a peaceful exchange of leadership and power. We had that's the first time, the greatest. You know, we haven't touched on this, and we should.
Sure.
But what has just happened the last 3.5 years, and what is still happening as we sit here talking about it, comes under the definition of sedition more than it does treasonous, because if you're under the legal definition of the Constitution of treason, you have to be at war. So what has been going on is the greatest act of sedition in the history of this country, and not a single one of these people have ended up under the court of justice yet.
I know.
What?
No, I think the law, I think there's the law was 18 U.S.C. 242 was a form of treason and sedition. I believe. I'm not an attorney, so I'm not practicing law, but I remember filing that myself a couple times in the past. But I think it falls under the Treason Sedition Act that people have committed. And that's a way people can remove these politicians. You know, it's find your Piccadillys. It's like, I think the last show we did, I mentioned, you know, here's this one's, you know, bribe, here's that one, you know, Pelosi, here's Schumer's, here's how they compromised and blackmailed them, et cetera. You know, and by the way, that winery that she has out there, I'm going to be putting stuff up on it. I mentioned on my show, but I will be putting it up there.
Is that the one in Napa Valley?
Yeah, the one in Napa Valley. It's a Skellington. Here it is, right here. Someone has sent it to me to get the correct name. But it's Skellingberg or something like that. Let me see. There's the name of it, but I'm going to do a report on this and dig deeper on it. But I don't have the name handy right in front of me. It's kind of a long, long message, but it's Skellingberg or something. Is the name but this is the winery with a payoff. And at the time, she voted, and all we have is total voting record, of which I will, and point out where she changed. But that's bribery. She has a reason to be arrested.
Well, that woman, if she's not guilty of sedition and treason, of course, in the metaphorical sense of the word, you know, who is? I mean, you know, she's nothing but a nutcase. But, you know, Stu, I used to go around for the last 3.5-4 years saying, you know, the world and the country is going crazy. Well, I don't say it anymore because it's way, 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 way past that. But now, when we say the word crazy with these people, to any common sense patriotic American, it is crazy. But these people are not crazy. They know exactly what they're doing.
They've been doing it for a long time.
Yep.
They've taken over this country, and that's what people don't understand. Once you take over certain positions, as far as like Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office, you've got total control once you do that. There won't be any prosecution or anything. Now, you know, it's like Bill Barr. I mean, this guy was an assistant attorney underneath Daddy Bush at the CIA. He was underneath Brownstein. It was one of the 6 CI council, they call him. That's one of the APEC directors out of Denver. He's the one that, you know, fell in the shoes of Milner. And Barr worked underneath him. His CIA name was Robert Johnson, folks. It was a CIA name. Now, we got him. I mean, he worked with Ollie North. He worked with Daddy Bush. When Daddy Bush, he was attorney general underneath him, covering up everything. And we got him up in the administration now. See, this is some of the things that I have big concerns with pertaining to President Trump. Either he's got idiots who have surrounded him, who have told him to pick these people, either that or he himself could be part of the bigger picture.
Well,
and that's what bothers me.
Stu, he's our only hope, man. You got to back him 100%.
Right.
No, I
have reservations. I would love to see that some of the swamp drained. It's got to be, and it hasn't been. And, you know, his entire presidency has been turned upside down by nothing but lies and rumors of lies. And the people that were involved have committed a form of treason and sedition, the Clintons and the others. And yet no one has been arrested.
Well, what you just said proves my point completely, Stu, that he is not part of the problem. He's the solution, because everything listen, nobody has ever withstood a pounding like he gets 24/7, 365. The guy, if he says up, they say down. If he says forward, they say backwards. It is unbelievable. And I just can't believe that he's part of the problem. I think that he's not a lifelong politician. He's a businessman. And he came in and he took over and he won the golden ring without going through their little hoops, jumping through their hoops. And that's something. And he beat Hillary Clinton by an act of divine intervention. That's one of the reasons I know there's a God. He defeated the entire establishment. And they're never going to forgive him for that. So to say he's part of the problem, Stu, is just not, I just can't go along with that.
Well, I'm not, I just, you know, he's had so many threats, attempts on his life that I asked myself, you know, did he cave? Because I want to see the swing, I want to see the drains cleaned. I want to see.
Oh yeah, hey, everybody does. You know, hey, this it's frustrating as hell. But how can you imagine that? What how frustrating it's for Donald J. Trump?
Well, all he has to do is give me a grand jury. I'll be happy to. I've got a grand jury. The man sitting with the federal order.
The second he starts telling his attorney general what he wants done, they start screaming at that the president's not supposed to be doing that. And I mean, everything he does is opposed. And I think Barr's been a big disappointment to me, but and especially this guy, what's his name? He's doing the investigation right now. It's been going on for 3.5 years. Burr, what's his name?
The Inspector General, are you talking about?
The guy that's working. I know
Mueller.
His name. Like
it was Mueller initially.
No, the guy that we're waiting for his report.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. It's the Inspector General.
Anyway, I mean, what's taking this guy so long?
Yeah, that's the problem. We've got too many problems like that. That's what I don't understand.
See, what's taking this guy so long? I mean, I don't know how many books have been written exposing this whole sordid act of treasonous, seditionous activity. And this guy is like he's inventing the whole new wheel from the very beginning. He doesn't have this. This must be at least two dozen books out in the market now explaining this whole thing, what the hell's gone down. And he's, I think they're just slow walking this whole thing to get it past the election.
I think you're right. I think you're right to destroy him. By the way, the name of that winery is Skellenger Winery in Napa.
What does that spell? What does that spell?
Skellenger. Skellenger Winery is the one that Nancy Pelosi has.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, the governor of California, folks, is her nephew, in case you didn't know. And look how screwed up that state is now.
It's irretrievably lost.
It is. It's bad shape. Now, let's talk about where these Democrats are and what they're doing.
Stu, Democrats, please.
Democrats, okay. I mean, we're in the
37th. Do not refer to it as the Democratic Party. There's nothing democratic, an adjective, about the Democrat Party, a noun.
Okay. Now, we also have the Republicans, and there's not too many of them up there that are very clean. Most of them are pretty dirty as well. They all need to have an enema. We need a complete shift of everybody there except for about 3 or 4 people, in my opinion. Now, I'm going to give you the last 10 minutes to summarize what everybody needs to do or what your opinion is, et cetera. We're in 38 minutes. I don't want to go more than about 45 or so.
Yeah, but I got to get going here.
Yeah, but I want you to give – we're all over the board here. You see it. I see it. We're facing vaccinations. We're going to face this corona crap, more lockdown, more face masks every place you go, all this other crap that they're putting out here. Now, folks – go to StuWeb.com before I turn it over to Russ again. And look, the EPA, right there it says, the EPA approved this past week that coronavirus kills, I mean that Lysol kills coronavirus in 3 to 5 seconds upon contact, Lysol spray. I put this up back in January, showed on the Lysol bottle kills coronavirus. Now, in the nursing homes, some of them in the state of Missouri, they're giving, and other places, they're giving a shot of tonic water to their patients every day because tonic water has the quinine in it, which is the same thing the president of the United States took in pill form. Now, if this is something that prevents it, and I put another video up, that vitamin D, folks, supplemental vitamin D kills the coronavirus. It helps you keep from, it helps build your immune system. So there's videos up there by doctors explaining this that people can understand. So get your Lysol, get your tonic water, and get some vitamin D, and you'll have the problem resolved. But this isn't the bigger problem. The bigger problem we have is we're being electrocuted with 5G. Electrocuted. Mm-hmm. With these cell phones, the cell phone towers, et cetera. Our lungs with chemtrails and the heavy metals they're spraying, aluminum in particular. They're lighting us up. I saw an X-ray, Russ, of a dead corona victim whose brain had shrunk and their lungs were glowing with some sort of metal, they said. Now, I've had on Amber, who's a nurse out of Bakersfield, where they installed 5G, and all of a sudden 100 women she found in Bakersfield, California, were having two periods per month. They buried the 5G in the street. The periods came back to normal 28-day cycles, but her brain began to shrink, and she was bleeding out of her ear for 2 weeks before they buried the 5G, which then it stopped. It was the same thing of a so-called corona victim who went into convulsions where the brain was shrinking. Is up on stuweb.com. I posted it up back in February so people would see what was going on. It's 5G that is harming us, and we have Sprint, who is now part of T-Mobile. T-Mobile is now installing the second 5G system in America. This needs to be stopped. Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, my sister's very big into this 5G expose, and what they want to do is put up over 20,000 low Earth orbiting satellites in the near future, and what this will do, Stu, is turn this whole globe into a gigantic microwave oven, and it's going to destroy the DNA and the cellular structure of every single living thing on Earth. Now, the question is, how in the hell do these people who are doing this, they must know what I just said. And if it's true, how do they think they can get away with it?
They think they can. They're doing it. That's the problem.
I mean, you won't be able to go to Antarctica and get away from it.
I saw, especially if they get all these satellites up there. I mean, we've got 25,000 satellites approximately in orbit now throughout the planet. Yeah. From all the countries, and they're talking about putting these up on 5G. This will fry us. I mean, we're being fried now, and why they're still down here on the planet trying to fry us. Now, I've put up a couple videos of 5G towers burning over in Europe and down in Alabama someplace. My understanding is all you got to do is pour about a gallon of gas at the bottom of the tower, and it's like a hole, and, run a trail and throw a match on it. But, it's like a hollow tuba. And it just fries everything inside. It's like a Roman candle. But, we're going to have to physically do things. We as Americans are going to have to put a stop to it. We're going to have to demonstrate 5Gs. We're going to have to get out there with these so-called ones that want to change the country and start making them understand. I don't know what to say, Russ, how to get the people motivated to get them to do something. But I know one thing. One of these days, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's becoming a problem already. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Like I keep telling everybody, it's 100 days to the election, and you ain't seen nothing yet.
Like I keep saying, try to get a little bit more ammo.
Yeah. Well, call that banking, bank getting up the four precious metals. You know what they are?
What's that?
Gold, silver, brass, and lead.
Brass and lead. I like those two. Oh, man. We're going to have a lot of problems. Go ahead, Russ.
Not too many people call me and ask me my opinion about anything, Stu, except good old Stu.
Well, I want your opinion. Your opinion's about similar to mine. I know we're going to have to do something. I'm just kind of like trying to reposition,
Like
I'm trying to get moved right now. Hopefully I can move in August, pick my expenses by half.
Okay, now I want you to join my one-man crusade about the Democrat Party. And we do not call them the Democratic Party under threat of death. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Think about
it. It's true. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic.
Constitutional republic.
If you can keep it. So far, we've lost it. We need to get it back.
Now, I know the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, but they don't stay equals. The only place we should have equality is in, under the law, equal protection under the law, due process, and equal opportunity. Beyond that, equality is an impossible thing to enforce because free men are not equal and equal men are not free. Think about that, Stu.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You cannot have equality because we're all different. And the communists, their two big sales pitches are something for nothing, which we know is impossible, and equality. But they're, one of the things what they're preaching about equality, which they do ring true on, is the equality of poverty. Think about that.
Yeah.
The only thing, the only equality they have is poverty. I've been to, through all those Eastern Communist bloc countries, and I can, that's testimony firsthand. Anyway, how are we doing on time? We're just about out?
If you got a last word, shoot us.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much our last word. I can't give you all my pearls of wisdom at one time. It'd take too long.
Yeah, I hear you. Russ, I really appreciate, you know, just general discussion because we need to have this. I'm getting tired of seeing all this crap on TV. There's too much of it. We got to put it down and get away from it.
Yeah.
We could talk all day long,
I got to get going.
Okay, buddy. I want to thank you very much, Russ. Take care.
It's always a pleasure, and we're looking forward to next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you then. Thanks,
okay,
Russ. Buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.